Hello and welcome to Haaretz Weekend, a glossy audio supplement on Israel, the Middle East and the Jewish world. I'm Simon Spungin. On today's show... We're going to be talking about sport on today's episode, listener, ahead of the long-awaited 2020 Olympic Games. Even before the Games begin, Israel has already set a record. With 90 athletes competing in no fewer than 15 disciplines, this is the largest ever Israeli delegation to the Olympics. Here with me to discuss Israel's hopes and expectations over the next 2.5 weeks, I'm delighted to welcome Haaretz's chief sports writer, Uzi Dan. Uzi, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Simon.
So we're recording this on Tuesday, Uzi, just ahead of your flight to Tokyo, where you'll be one of three Haaretz journalists covering the action. Have you finished reading the 68-page document that organizers issued with COVID instructions for visiting journalists?
This is the list of our... problems before the going to Tokyo, the protocols that and the application, and the Japanese are, which are very organized people, to say generally speaking, I don't know if they're confused or they're just doing it. They are in a hysteric mode about the coronavirus, the COVID. It's not just about this delegations, the journalists. No crowd, not visiting crowd, no local crowd. And people are waiting, fellow journalists and other, are waiting 6, 7, 8 hours in the airport with all kind of checks, not just COVID checks, new applications and new rules. And it looked like the Japanese have one concern, to pass the Olympics without a new coronavirus break in Tokyo. And if it was up to them, they would not host the Olympics. 80% of Japanese people do not want the Olympics now in Tokyo. Mm. The numbers before the COVID, in the beginning of 2020, 6 months before the Olympics were due, were about 77% of the Japanese did welcome the game. So, so it's all about the pandemic, and it's gonna be. I think it's gonna be a bit sad Olympics because with no crowd, with many restrictions about you cannot go. The athletes, the journalists, the delegation members, you cannot go to a restaurant. You cannot go if you need to go to a drugstore to buy something. You have to do it with a special application. And colleagues that landed in Tokyo yesterday, day before, they say that when you wait in the airport, you cannot go to the bathroom alone. They send someone with you to check that you are really going to the bathroom and not.
Wow.
So and in the Olympic Village, you know, they delivered as usual big numbers of free condoms, but but now they say don't use it.
It's
to take home. So
a souvenir from a strange Olympics.
And the beds in the Olympic Village are built for the average weight of one person. So if two persons together, etc.
They're taking extra precautions. it's going to be a very, very strange games for sure.
It will. The question is, once the games will start, and will this be the main issue? Will once we see it live or on TV, will the Japanese and everyone else forget about all the restrictions and everything else, and will concentrate on what's going on on the field, on the which is the most important thing, and the athletes that waited for 5 years, they are the main reason that the Olympics should, even though all this problem should go ahead, because they are the most important people in all this saga. I mean, there are 4 or 5 billion people watching, but they're watching 10,000 people that compete.
So for them, let's hope that it's smooth and that the medals table that they put up every day isn't competing with the COVID cases table. So Uzi, the Israel Olympic Committee has set out its goals for the Games, apart from returning to Israel COVID-free, presumably. It wants at least 2 medals, including one in a sport that we haven't won yet. First of all, is that realistic?
It's realistic. We have a big delegation. For the first time in the history of the Olympics, we'll have an Israeli competing every day of the Olympics, which is every one of the 16 days of competition. Listen, in London 2012, the goals were the same. The goals were two medals, one of them in a discipline that we didn't win, and that a woman would take one of them. We didn't win any medals. In Rio, we did took two medals, both in judo, but we have some very good athletes. We have, again, if it was a year ago, like it was scheduled to, a couple of athletes like Luna, Shimtai in the marathon should have been in a better place. Mm. But, you know, that's life. I think two, three medals even is something that Israel can hope for. In the judo, we don't have a big name like Yoden Jobi that took bronze in Rio, but with four or five people that are top 10 in their class, and with four medals given to each, statistically, we should get a medal. Mm. Katie Spichakov in the sailing is very strong. She's a candidate for to take a medal or even. Maybe even gold medal.
True.
Linoy Ashram in the artistic gymnastic is very.
She's in great form, right? She just won a bunch of medals over the weekend.
She's great. The two Russians, which are the best in the world, two Russian sisters, will compete, even though Russia is under a ban from WADA, but the Russian sports people who are clean will compete under the Olympic flag. So the sister will be there, which means Linoy should take a bronze. But in a good day, she can do even better. In a bad day, of course, if she drops the ball, whatever.
What about Diana Weissman, who broke Esther Roth's 46-year-old?
Yeah, she's not good enough. If she will do a semifinal, it's nice. But
11:25 isn't enough for a final, right?
But we do have a ball team. For the first time since 1976, Israeli football team. The so-called Israeli baseball team, which is not the Israeli national team, will compete, and with only six teams competing for three medals and the very sophisticated and complicated methods of playing, our baseball team have 50% chance to win a medal.
You know what? Before we get an Israeli's take on Team Israel in the baseball, let's take a listen to a conversation I recorded with Alison Kaplan-Summer. Alison, I'm pretty sure that even our more sports-obsessed listeners missed the result of a baseball game that was played last week on Coney Island. In what was described as a comfortable victory over the New York Fire Department, Team Israel got its pre-Tokyo exhibition matches off to a winning start, fittingly enough, at Maimonides Park. So who are Team Israel, Alison?
Yeah, really. One day the fire department, the next day a gold medal at the Olympics. So the Israeli national baseball team has been around for a while. Many American immigrants to Israel come with baseball in their bones, their guts, their DNA, and are doing everything they can in order to establish some form of baseball culture in Israel. So there is the Israel Baseball Association, which is very active, and they have all kinds of leagues from the youngest to the most seasoned experienced, and they have a national baseball team.
Tell us about their journey to Tokyo. Not an easy road, right?
No, not an easy road at all. You know, talk about Cinderella underdog stories. So it all sort of stems from what I just mentioned, the desire to bring baseball to Israel and the desire for some sort of passion for baseball, some sort of baseball culture to flourish in Israel, which, as you might guess, has not been so successful until now. But when baseball was unexpectedly placed in the Tokyo Olympics, there hasn't been baseball in the Olympics for 13 years. So when that happened, the baseball aficionados in Israel behind the Israel Baseball Association saw an opportunity and began recruiting some, so to speak, heavy hitters to the Israeli national baseball team in the form of American Jewish players who could potentially be immigrants to Israel, and signed them up for Israel's national baseball team. And they began playing in these very competitive high-level tournaments in Europe for the European Championship, the winner of which gets a slot in the Tokyo Olympics.
amazing achievement in and of itself, especially given that there, in Israel, there are only around 1,000 people actively playing baseball, right? And it's fair to say that it's almost exclusively an American pastime in here, expats and the children of immigrants.
Yes, very much so. But they've been doing that long enough that a few of them really grew up with baseball, children of immigrants, one of whom created the very first baseball field on Kibbutz Gezer. His son is going to be on the Olympic baseball team, so kind of brings it full circle.
Who's funding the 24-player delegation?
Well, the Israeli Olympic Committee was a little bit shocked and stunned when this team, sort of, full of these American Jewish players, who, by the way, had to actually immigrate to Israel formally on paper in order to go to the Olympics. To play in the European leagues, you only had to be a potential immigrant. In order to go to the Olympics, you have to be an immigrant. So they did their paperwork. And we have 8 with Major League Baseball experience. And we have many more who have played in the minor leagues and very, club leagues that, baseball has been their career. They're American Jewish players. And this is their one opportunity to have an Olympic experience. If they don't qualify for the American Olympic team, they can at least go as part of the Israeli team.
Is there any chance that they're going to win a medal?
There's always a chance, Simon. First of all, this is sort of like an experimental, small-scale baseball competition in the Olympics. There are going to be 6 teams. So if you've got gold, silver, and bronze, that's a 50-50 chance you're starting out with, right? You never know with baseball. I don't know. You're more familiar with that other sport where people chase a ball around a field, right? We're not supposed to talk about that right now.
There are so many games that are people chasing a ball around a field.
baseball, there are crazy circumstances, and a lot of it is skill, a lot of it is luck, etc. And with these, very experienced players, Major League Baseball, minor league teams, even though all of the other 5 teams are ranked in the top 10 in the world, and the Israeli team is formally ranked 24th in the world, but not all of these top players, obviously, that will be in the Olympics have played in their previous games. There's always a chance.
Tell me, does anyone care that so few of the players are native Israelis? I mean, many of the American Israelis that we see on the roster are only Israeli in order to represent the country, right? They you said they actually had to emigrate here.
Yes.
But not actually.
It's nothing really new under the sun. If you look at Israeli ice skaters competing in the Olympics, if you look at several other sports, I believe this year in a horse riding competition, dressage, I believe there's another American Jewish young woman who is competing for Israel. I'm not sure. Check me on that, but I'm pretty sure it's true. So basically, it's not a first. It's just very visible this time because we've got a whole team of people. Normally, it's individuals, 1, 2, 3. But it's something that Israel has done. It's something that many, many countries do. European countries where they have, high-level players who are the children of Italian immigrants in the United States, kind of, coming back and repatriating for that purpose. So it's not a new or different practice. And when they win, right? Most countries tend to go ahead and cheer for them no matter where they come from.
I mean, I remember in 2017 when Team Israel did so well at the World Baseball Classic and shocked the baseball world. It was reported that they had to organize a special birthright trip for 10 of the players who'd actually never stepped foot in Israel.
No, absolutely. And you get in these players, right, there's a whole range of them. There's some who, really one Jewish parent, no background, no interest, no education. And then you've got types who, belong to a conservative synagogue and went to Camp Ramah and do have that attachment to Israel. So, it's also, I guess it's a birthright for Major League Baseball players or former Major League Baseball players.
I mean, putting aside the purely sporting element of having a team wearing the Israeli uniform and representing Israel in a team sport for the first time in 4 decades or something at the Olympics. Isn't there something a little uncomfortable about a team of ringers coming in? Professionals drafted in to represent a country where they've never played or lived. And even the promotional video that Team Israel put out described it as a Jewish team.
Like I said, on a moral level, is there really a difference between individual ringers and a team full of ringers? Not really. So if it was something new under the sun, if it was something that Israel had never done before, didn't do regularly before, and something that other countries in their Olympic teams didn't do, we now live in sort of a global world, and it happens, and it's something that's done.
And it has given head writers some little leeway for fun, though. Take me out to the Minion, one gem that I saw.
Their mascot is this life-size doll that they put sitting on the bench next to the players, and they call him the Mensch on the Bench.
Wonderful. Listen, maybe I'm just being cynical. I'm sure that when the first pitch is thrown, I'll be rooting for Team Israel.
Simon Spungen, rooting in baseball competition. That I'm looking forward to seeing.
Until such time as they introduce cricket at the Olympics, I think that's the closest I'm going to get. So, Alison, we'll put a link to your excellent piece about Team Israel in the program notes of this show. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Uzi, are you a baseball fan? Are you excited about Team Israel?
I am a baseball fan since I was in the States when I was 18 for the first time. And I think baseball, in my view, after football, which of course is the best in the world, baseball is the best ball game. And I think the Americans, unlike in football, which they destroy the rugby, here they did something else.
I hope you're not going to say that they took cricket and improved it, because we might have to end the conversation here.
Okay. It's the one I told you once. I think the one sport that I cannot fully understand is cricket. Anyway,
well,
I think
baseball. Give me a week and I'll explain the rules.
Baseball is a great game. You can argue if it's supposed to be an Olympic sport, but that's true for many other sports. But I think the problem here is what you call Team Israel. This is not the Israel national team. In every sport, there's one national team. They gathered here mostly American Jews. There are some Israelis, not even people that made Aliyah. I mean, we know the Israeli basketball team, etc. There were many people, American Jews, that came to Israel, made Aliyah, even went back to the States after they finished their career. It's not the same. We have here people that are living in the States. They're not, I mean, they have the right to have an Israeli citizenship because of our complex or Chok HaShvut.
The law of return.
Yes, yeah. It's really not in the...
But there are plenty of examples of countries taking athletes who have maybe a slight tenuous connection. You know, you think of
definitely.
I read the Qatar
handball national team. Actually, they took some good players from Serbia, from Montenegro, from Cuba. They made it no connection whatsoever to Qatar. Azerbaijan is doing the same. Bahrain is doing. Yes. So what? I mean, these countries do all kind of stuff. It's not the way I want to act. I mean, again, if there were people that making Aliyah to Israel, it's great. I have a problem with this team, and I think it's not because baseball is not popular in Israel. If it was, I don't know, any team sport, Israel national team would win a medal, people would go out of the... I think if this team wins bronze, silver, whatever, there won't be much excitement.
You don't think the Israeli public will get behind any team calling, even if it's not Israelis in, you know, 80% of the Israelis?
I think if you compare this to winning, let's say Israel would be represented in basketball, and basically the entire squad would be actually, you know, people like Olsi Perry, Lou Silver, Jim Boatwright, people that, you know, were either... there would be much more excitement. I think, in a way, I don't want to say it, to say that I don't want the Israeli team to succeed, but I think, no, if they win a medal, it will not be a reason for excitement in the Israeli public and sports fan.
I mean, I find it slightly incongruous that, you know, we said almost all of the players on the baseball team have been granted Israeli citizenship because of the law of the return, while there are two people who actually do live here but won't be representing Israel, athletes Jamal Mohamed and Tachloni Gabriosos of Sudan and Eritrea, respectively. They're representing the refugee team.
Exactly.
Our colleague Itamar Katsir has written a great article about them. The headline says it all, really. They feel Israeli in every way, but they're representing the refugee team.
That's exactly the point. And again, it's not that I'm against Chok HaShvut. Definitely not. But what you do here is you quetch the law, like they say in Yiddish. And if this guy that will be in the South Sudanese guy who will be in the refugee team, there's no reason why he would compete for Israel. Mm. And there is no reason why a guy from New Jersey who had never been to Israel until he was granted this chance to play in the Olympics. I mean, this is something that very, very few people in the world can do. So if I come now to Simon and I say, you're from Newcastle originally. We have a team that will play cricket in the Olympics in Paris in 2024. All you have to do is say that you were born. So maybe you will go play cricket in the Paris Olympics. Yes, but this is not the way it should be.
Mm. Yeah, I would be delighted to represent Newcastle in anything. One more potential area of controversy, Uzi, before we wrap things up. There is a history of athletes from countries that don't recognize Israel refusing to compete against Israeli opponents. The Iranian in 2004 and a Saudi Arabian judoka opted to forfeit rather than face Gilly Cohen in 2016. Is that still a thing?
It's still a thing. We saw the Iranian guy, Mulai, who is now representing another country, actually.
Mongolia, I think.
Yes,
right?
to flee his country. Mm. I saw personally in Beijing a guy from Tunis, which is not an enemy country. I mean, we're not in war with Tunis, unlike Iraq or Iran, who didn't want to compete with Gal Nevo in the same heat in the swimming pool. Not personal, you know, one against the other.
Wow, not even in the same pool.
Yes.
Wow.
So, in the same pool, but in heat of, you know, eight swimmers. Mm. So it's still something that happens. The IOC and the various Olympic movement, they should punish such a thing, but they don't, because it's politics. And you can understand why a guy from Iran, if they tell him not to compete. Mm. So we probably would do the same thing. I mean, we cannot judge this guy. He has to come home. He has family at home. So
yeah. We judge the regime, not the athlete.
Exactly,
not the athlete.
Exactly.
Mm. By the way, has anyone in Israel even noticed that there's not a single Arab amongst the Israeli delegation?
Yes, of course. We wrote about it. And I also, in our site, we have some trivia questions that are this is one of the questions. When was the last time Israeli had Arabs in the delegation? And the first and the last time was in 1976. We had Jimmy Tuk, the football player, was part of the Israeli national team for Montreal. And we had back then also Edward Meron, who was a weightlifter, a Christian Arab.
Why are there such poor representations?
It's not a decision. I mean, it's not like...
No, clearly.
But clearly there is less money given to the Arab sector concerning many, many issues, including sport. Mm. I think, generally speaking, the Arab population is less Olympic sport-oriented. I mean, there were some very good... boxers, weightlifter, etc.
I remember William Shahada.
There are less Arab people doing, you know, swimming, athletics, etc. But again, it's a question of education, it's a question of money.
And resources.
Resources. There is no reason after 45 years that there would not be, with 90 people on the delegation, 24 of them, the baseball team, which most of them are not really Israelis, it's a problem. I mean, again, there is not a fit Arab Olympic sports person that was not sent because he's Arab. Mm. No.
Right.
But they're not doing enough. There's not enough resources. And if we have, you know, we almost had a Haredi woman competing in the marathon, but because the marathon is on Saturday, on Shabbat, she will not. We have so many different people in the delegation. I think it should be one of the goals of the Israeli Olympic movement to have an Arab sports person in 2024.
Mm. So, something to look forward to. And indeed, there are five Palestinian athletes who will be competing under the Palestinian flag. So it's not a pipe dream. It's not a pipe dream. So Uzi, before I let you go, I know you have a flight to catch. Can I have your prediction? How many medals? And will one of them be gold?
Well, listen, I was in two Olympics. In 2012, there were no medals, and for the first time since 1992 until today. In 2008, I was at the Olympics, but I was in Beijing, and the only medal was in Qingdao, where the sailing were. So the fact that I'm going...
That's not a good sign.
It's not a good sign, but I'm not going, you know. I think there will be two, three Israeli medals. One in judo, one in for Illinois, I don't know which. Mm-hmm. And maybe sailing, maybe something else. I would guess one silver medal, two bronze medals.
That would be a pretty good haul.
Which would be not bad.
Respectable. Not, yes. Absolutely respectable. Yes. Right. Well, I'm afraid we've reached the finish line of this episode, Uzi. Will you come back afterwards and tell us what it was like?
I hope they won't send me to... they sent some of the people in Japan that get positive results. The athletes call it concentration camps. Of course, it's a harsh name, but... I hope to go. I hope to come back. And if I come back safe and healthy, I will come back.
Excellent. Thank you. Thanks for your time, Uzi.
Thank you.
Thank you, too, to Alison Kaplan-Summer and to our producer, Aaron Ehrlich. Listener, we're going to wish the best of luck to the Israeli delegation and, of course, to the five Palestinians who will be representing their country in Tokyo. And we'll be back on Monday with another episode of Haaretz Weekly. Until then, Shabbat Shalom from Tel Aviv.